Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes discouraged, but not defeated, cast down, but not destroyed. There are times I don't understand, but I believe it's turning around for me. I've had struggles and disappointment. There are times I felt so alone. Some of my friends say, let me down, but I still believe it's turning around for me, around for me, around for me, around for me, it's turning around.
Just say it into the atmosphere.
Around for me. Around for me.
It's turning around.
Turning around for me.
'Cause I can see the breaking.
I can see the breaking of day.
God is.
God is making a way. Change is coming for me.
If I stay strong.
No reason to doubt.
I know he's working.
I know he's working it out.
And it's turning around.
Turning around.
This is the good news.
And it won't always be like this. He will perfect that concern. And sooner or later, it'll turn in my favor.
Sooner or later, turn in my favor.
It's turning around. Concerning me, and sooner or later, turn in my favor.
Just lift your hands to the atmosphere and claim your season of turnaround. Hallelujah. Now let's say this together. Come on.
Around for me.
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 It's turning around.
I
can feel it happening.
Around for me.
Around for me.
Around for me.
Because if it had not been for you, we would not be here. We opened our eyes this morning, God, because you gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because you gave us strength in our limbs and the facilities of our body. We were able to get here, God, because you blessed us and brought us the way of safety and did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into your presence because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before you today, have your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified that you might be glorified, that your people might be edified in the name of Jesus. For God in you is life. And that's what we seek, God, life. Eternal life, God. We pray, oh God, today that you will touch every person that have come seeking you, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. Rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let your anointing that resonates in this place even now. God, let there be an outpouring on your people. We need you, God, to take us to another level in you, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord, and we need to be fortified with your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come in to war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord, and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls, and in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord. God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer. And Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our troubled lives, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Break every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. We know that you're able, God, to heal our bodies, Jesus. We know that you're able, God, to turn our situations around. Jesus, no other help we know. No other help we know. No other help we know, God. You're able, Jesus, to deliver our children. You're able, Jesus, to save the unsaved husband. You're able, Jesus, to heal the cancer patient. Nothing too hard for you, Jesus. No other God we know. We know that you're able, Jesus. We know that you're able, Jesus. We say yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll give your name the praise. And we'll bless you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord some praise.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I thank God for another week ending, another Friday morning. I'm grateful unto him. I appreciate him today. I love him today. I thank him. I thank him. I just can't thank him enough because he has done so much for us, not just for one person, but for us. Yeah. And we're grateful unto him, and we just can't go by and just leave him, you know, without and telling him thank you, that we appreciate him and we love him, because he's the author and finisher of our faith. He's what wake us up in the morning. He's what keeping us breathing and living all day long. And without him, we can do nothing. We can't breathe. We can't move without him. So we don't go by through our day and don't give him nothing. We should give him the first fruit of everything, the first fruit of our day. Everything that we got, we should give him the first fruit of it. Hallelujah. I gave him the first fruit of my children and all the rest of them. And my oldest son became the first preacher in the family. But how many know when the enemy come in like a flood, many of us will forget that it's God that will raise a standard, and what the world is offering, we'll start taking that. I call it the apple. Like the piece of fruit that was in the garden. You know, Eve brought it to Adam. So sometimes we try and teach our children what's better, but they don't listen, and they continue on to do what it is they want to do, but we keep them lifted up in prayer. And we thank God again for the weekend, and today is Friday. Hallelujah. And we're coming on in to take a rest for the weekend, and God is faithful. And today we're going to listen to How Can a Woman Recover from Games? We're going to talk about that today. And I love R.C. Blake. He's a wonderful teacher, wonderful preacher. And he's got great wisdom with relationships, and I thank God for that, because he can help many people, even in the world. He can help worldly people. But I want to say this to women that say they're saved, women that say, and men, women and men that say they're saved and they're believers, and I know God, and I know his word, and da-da-da-da-da, and I sing in the choir, and I do this for the church, and I do that, and all of this. Do you know Glory to his majesty. Do you know if we took the word of God for real and we walked according to his word, do you know what R.C. Blake is teaching, we would already know. We would already know. I didn't go to counseling. There was no one like R.C. Blake who taught me. The word taught me. Before I got in the word, I was just like everybody else. I would have been with, I mean, I had been, I'm sure, with some type of man who had narcissistic ways. You know, I was out there just doing my own thing and not understanding because my parents tried to teach me, but I refused to listen to that because I wanted it a different kind of way. You know, all of that was before God. The scripture said it now, and it would prove what I'm talking about. Listen, the scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, meaning generic term, man or woman. When he says he there, that's a man or a woman. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Because God pulled a woman out of the rib, Adam's side, they say. But I just say God needs woman from man. So if any man be, and they're one, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. When I let my old life go, God gave me a new life, but I had to let the old one go. My old way of thinking, I had to be willing to allow it to go. I could not continue to want to hold on to my old life and say I'm walking in the newness of life. That didn't work together. But once I was willing, because see, I had been in church a long time, took my children to church. I didn't send them. I took them. I watched them perform in church, but I didn't have God. I had a form of godliness because I had been around the church so long. I knew the characteristics of the church folks. I knew protocol, you know. But once the head pro called me, then, and only then, was I able to change these things about myself. And when I say change these things, I didn't change them. But God's word did it for me. His word. He sent his word and his word healed me. I decided no longer. And flesh and blood didn't reveal it. Only God could reveal this to me. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Only that could reveal it to me. I decided to give the world back its wicked ways. Give the devil back all his tools. Because I'm no longer in bondage, I found a heavenly father. And I found out no matter what, he was able to keep me if I wanted to be kept. But I had to desire to be kept by him. See, because before, I didn't have that desire. I wanted to honor him and I wanted to respect him. But I didn't want to live right before him. I wanted to obey my flesh, and I did. It was my thing. I did what I wanted to do. Nobody could tell me who to sock it to. That was in that old life. But once I come to him and he gave me a new life, I desired to walk upright before him. I desired to do better. I decided to love those that appear to be unlovable. I decided to forgive others. And he come in and he blessed me. So once he blessed me with his word. He sent his word to heal me. Once I began to walk according to his word and stop listening to my flesh and what I saw out in the world and watch as well as pray these preachers that's up with all this foolishness, what happened was this. I knew better. I knew when a man came with game. Right off the bat, the word taught me. The word of God taught me. The spirit of God was leading and guiding, but I had to allow all of this to happen for me. I had to make my flesh come under subjection. I had to make this flesh die so what was right could live and take place through me, which was the Spirit of God. But when we don't allow the Spirit of God to move and to lead and guide us, we override it. God will speak, but we override it. The word will tell us something, but we'll forget it. We'll wipe it out because we want to do what we want to do. And we'll make the excuse, I was going through. How many of you heard this? I just needed a hug. Let God hug you. He'll hug you, I promise. I promise he will hug you. If you need a kiss on the forehead, he'll do that too. If you need one on the cheek, he can do that too. But in order for you to get these things, you must get in him and allow him to get in you and not have a form of godliness denying the power thereof, the power of God. You're denying it, I promise you, because you're not taking the word of God wholeheartedly. You're not taking prayer seriously. You're not going to him for every little thing. You're not trusting him with all your heart. You're leaning to your own understanding. And all your ways, you're not acknowledging him. He can't direct your path. You're being wise in your own eyes, and you refuse to depart from evil. He can't do nothing. You're not giving him the tools he needs to do it for you with. Yeah. Yeah. And today what we're talking about, and this for men and women, but today we're talking about women. We need to be what God made us. See, because a lot of times, now you heard it yesterday, the husband is won by the conversation of the sanctified wife. A husband respect and look up to his sanctified wife because he's never going to catch her out of pocket. He's never going to catch her slipping and slide out of the word. She's never going to do stuff and say, well, Lord, you're going to have to forgive me for this because this, nope. Now, if you're living alone, there's some things you can do and go back to God for repentance. But if you got a husband or a wife and you say you went to the altar and you said, I do to God, you got to walk that walk, and especially they're not walking it yet. They're not saved. They have not received him as their Lord and Savior. They're working on it. They're thinking about it, but they haven't fully given in. Some of them still clubbing. Some of them still going to the bar, the husband or the wife. Some still hanging out with the wrong crowds. And if you get saved after you, both of y'all married and neither one of y'all saved, and after you got saved, you decide to stay with your husband or stay with your wife, you got to walk it out in God. You can't walk it out in your flesh. It's going to be a mess. But we back to this. If we truly believe the word of God, we're going to walk according. Again, I love R.C. Blake. I love his teachings. But the Bible told me before I ever knew about R.C. Blake, the word of God had already taught me. Don't let fornication be much named among you. I couldn't hang with single people who were single like me, but they still was doing the things of the world. Be ye separated, come out from among them. I had to turn the television stations off. No more Vogue magazine, no more Ebony magazine. I had to turn the TV to a different type of channel to watch. I had to buy a different kind of clothes to wear. No more revealing stuff. Because what that's about, what you're trying to pull. Men, you're not going to pull the right kind. You're going to pull a boy that's got the age of a man. You're not going to attract the right things because you're not dressed right to attract. And if the man of God come along with you, say you want a good man, the only good man I know is he got God in him, because it's God that make us good. You're saying you want a good man, but you're doing the things that attract bad men. And we won't stay with the word of God. Before we walk that word, we go to praying. Lord, is this the man you send in my way? Lord, I want a husband. God, I want him to do this and be that way, and I want to walk that word, walk the word of God, walk through the word of God, walk step by step, walk in the word of God, but we don't do that. What we do, we jump out of one relationship in another relationship, and we haven't healed from that last relationship. We haven't healed from that last relationship, and we'll bring that foolishness into the new and mess up somebody. Because, see, what happened is because you're not healed, he or she did something like the ex did, who hurt you real bad, who wasn't for you. And now you're going to treat them like they was your ex. It's messing up everything. Sit down, be still, and know that he is God. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Walk through the word. Walk through the word. The word is going to teach you whatever state you're in, be content. I'm single, I got to be content. I've been hurt, I got to learn to heal. The word of God will teach us all of this. But we don't walk the word, we pray. Because see, we don't really want to obey that word. What we want to do is get our flesh pleased. And it causes some problems. Now we're going through some things, and we're accusing everybody but us. We put us in that situation, but we're accusing everybody else. We chose them because they were good providers. We chose them because they were shaped this way. We chose them because their hair is this color. We chose them because they act like that. We chose all flesh, all according to your flesh. We didn't choose according to the word of God because we don't pray the prayer. Let this mind be in me that was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus was obedient to the Father. He wanted to obey and please his Father. That's not what we want. We say we do. God hear what we say, but he's looking at what we're doing. We're saying one thing, but we're doing another. We're not seeking a man that's saying, let this mind be in me that was also in Christ Jesus. And some of us, we caught up into the loop of soul ties because of this. We chose him because how fine he was, how ripped he was. Some of them choosing him, he got a six-pack. He may have a six-pack, but he's a narcissist. He may have a six-pack, but he's full of demons. No. He chose her because she's so fine, he can't hardly stand himself because she's so fine. And look at her. That's her natural hair like that. Ooh, them her natural nails. Ooh, her skin is so pretty. He done undressed her and everything. Never considered what's in her. I'm not telling you what R.C. Blake told me. I'm not telling you what the preacher told me. I'm not telling you what the Sunday school taught me. I'm telling you from experience. Been there, did it. Had children messed up real bad. Y'all don't hear me this morning. I messed up real bad. I'm looking at how fine he is. I'm looking at how them jeans hitting him. I'm looking at them tan-colored, butterscotch-colored work boots, Timberlands. I'm looking at how that shirt hitting him. He got 16-inch arms. He can bench press me. Because I'm like maybe 190 by the time I meet him. I was ones and threes. I done come up in the rank. I done gained me a few pounds. And I'm looking at him. Big curls on his head. I like how he walk. He bow-legged in one leg. Never considered what was in his heart. I'm looking at the outer appearance. Never considered what was in his heart. If we walk through this word, it'll help us to see all of this before we get tied up and tangled up and wrapped up and fooled up with what we shouldn't. It'll teach us to bring this flesh under subjection, and your body won't burn. You won't burn with lust to lay in play, but you got to walk through the word of God. You got to let that word do the work for you. Sometimes it takes some time. Ooh-wee, it took me some months. And I'm going to take that back. It took me some years. God sent many different things my way. Now, y'all know I don't really do much with Juanita Bynum. You don't hear me bringing her. I go with underdogs. But listen, she had a message out called No More Sheets. And a friend of mine named Stephanie, she said, Evangelist Mac, I want you to hear this message. I was Mac at the time because I didn't know anything about Juanita Bynum. This was in the late 90s. And I went to her house and she played it for me, the BH1, you know, the big videotape in the VCR. That's what we called it. And I got to see her preach No More Sheets. And I think it was 1 and 2. And I listened to both parts. And in listening to that, the Spirit of the Lord come and fix me. Because I was saved, walking upright the best I could before God, but men were still my weakness. Oh, yeah, they were still my weakness now because I love men. Hey, glory. So that fixed me. But as I continued on, I still love men. I didn't lay and play, but I would go out with a man. Yeah. I went on a cruise with one. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I have the Spirit of God. I would take a trip to Atlanta with one. That one in Washington State, whenever he came to town, he would take me shopping. No land, no plan, none of that. But guess what? Now I'm walking through the word and the Lord is teaching me, nope, stay away from that. Stay away from over here. You see that? Did you hear what he said? I'm paying he said, watch as well as pray. I'm paying everything attention. Every little thing, I'm paying it attention. Lord, heal me. He began to heal me. And when it came to trust, Big issue with trust because of what I had gone through in the past. He began to heal me. Walking through the word taught me what to expect from the man of God. He may not be a bishop. He may not be a preacher. He may not even be a minister. But his prayer to God is, let this mind be in me that was also in your son, Christ Jesus. He don't have to have a position to walk this walk. He don't have to have a title to walk this walk. He could be a preacher that's not even ordained by man because he was ordained by God. Somebody ought to help me this morning. But we don't walk the word of God. We'll go in some prayer now because we ask him for what we want. But walking that word so that we can learn the truth and apply the truth to our everyday life, no, sir, we're not going to do that. Now, we might read it, go to Bible study, keep listening to it, but are you applying it? Are you applying the word of God to your everyday life? We must apply this word. Well, we so want what we want, we forget about scripture. I'm telling you. And make excuses. But you know, he said this. But you know, Sister Barbara, and she was like this, and she said that, and she, all of this you telling me is foolishness. Because you want to ignore what the word of God says, and you want to ignore the signs of the truth trying to bring you out. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He trying to bring you out of darkness in an ugly relationship that's keeping you bound. You can't even get free in God like you want to because you're allowing this man or this woman to keep you in some place where you shouldn't be. I've heard husbands make excuses for ugly wives. I've heard wives make excuses for ugly husbands. And the reason I call them ugly, they're ugly ways because they are full of demons. You over there playing and sleeping with the enemy. But you keep praying, Lord, change his heart, God, and do this to him and do that for him. God can't come against your will. He won't come against your will. Whosoever will, let them come. Let them come. Let them come. I'm not forcing nobody. This is why I spoke in parables. Because it's not for everybody. Certain ones are going to understand. Because not everybody want to obey the word of God. Not everybody want to walk according to the word of God. But we allow ourselves to do these things. And then we crying to the Lord. Lord, she done hurt me so bad. God, you know what pain I'm going through. But you chose her because of the way she looked. You chose her because she was what they call a brick house. You chose her because of her half color. She had red hair. She had blonde hair. She had brown hair. She had black hair. She had streaks in her hair. She wore braids. She wore whatever. A beehive. I don't know. But that's why you chose her. You chose her because the dress hit her just right. Bam, bam. The jeans was just right. What they said, Willie? What did they say, Brother Willie? Apple bottom jeans, the boots and the fur. Is that what they said? And the whole club was looking at her. So this is what we want. This is what we want to do. We don't want the word of God to work for us. His word must work for us, the word of God. And if the word is not going to work, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to tell you. Because you're walking in your flesh and you're loving it. We must bring this flesh under subjection. Yes. It's got to come under subjection. Y'all excuse me. I'm going to have to cut this off this morning because this too much. But listen, we got to bring it under subjection. And God will help us to bring this flesh under subjection if we are sincere. But we must be sincere with him. He know the very intent of our hearts. He know what you're thinking. He knows what you're feeling. This is the honest truth. And he see what we're doing. And he hear what we say. This is why I call it sell out to him. We must sell out to him with our whole heart. Give him your whole heart. Looking at Proverbs 3, 5 through 7, I'm about to get excited. Right, yeah. Right here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Listen to what he said. Because, see, we don't take it serious. We want to keep having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. But listen what he said. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge me. And the promise is this. He shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Look at this. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. This was teaching the son. Teaching the son that wisdom is what you need to make it in this life. Women, wisdom is what we need. Men, wisdom is what we need in this life. In this life. The wisdom that we need is the wisdom of God. Well, Barbara, where will I get it from? Well, he gave it to you. He gave it to you through his spirit. He gave it to you through his word. And if we will allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God to line up together and stop being so anxious for things and stop being so set in our own ways and open up to God and let God have his way in you and through you, you're going to be surprised. You're going to be surprised at how well, thank you, Brother Louis, how well you're witnessed, even on your job. You'll be surprised at the wisdom that God will give you how to do things. Many times he sent me into places, and I would say to myself, the way he sent me, I would be like he's sending me as a secret agent. Yeah. Look at me. I'm a secret agent for the Lord. Oh, it would excite me. I was on my way to another church one Sunday morning. On my way to this church, he had me to stop by another church. And when I went into that church, I got to see an old preacher from the church I grew up in. And I spoke with him. He was excited to see me. And I asked him, could I speak with the pastor? He said, yeah, I'll let him know. Because, see, he knew me as Deacon Pittman's daughter. So the pastor had me to come in and pray with the ministers. This man didn't know me from a can of paint, as they say. I went in. When we got through, he let the ministers out. And you know how the deacons stand by the door, you know, what they call it, armor bearer or something. So he said, you wanted to speak to me? I said, yeah, I have a message for you, I said. And I was on my way to another church, and God spoke to me and told me what to come and tell you. And I tried to go on, but I couldn't resist. I got to obey him. He said, yes, yes, I understand. He was excited. When I told this man what the Spirit of the Lord had told me, he got even more excited. And he told me, thank you so much. He said, that's simply confirmation. I was waiting on this. I needed this. I didn't know how God was going to send it. I didn't know if he was going to send it through a person, or I was going to get it through his word, or the Spirit was going to speak. I didn't know. But he sent you. And afterwards, you know, we hugged, and I went on out the office, told the old minister I knew a goodbye, jumped in the car, and went on to the next church where I was supposed to be for the whole service. But had I not had my ears opened and in tune to the Spirit of God, I would have missed the opportunity to serve. And if we stop all of this fleshly stuff, I got to have a man. I just want a husband. I got to have a woman. You on a marriage. You said I can have a woman. I just need a wife. If we'll let that go and walk this word, walk them. I'm talking to single people, married people, walk the word of God too. Because if you walk the word of God, you're going to pray for your husband. You're going to pray for your wife. Y'all going to remain on one accord. The devil live at married people door. He live at the front door and the back door, and he got all the windows covered. He got the house around it like he the security system there, because he always want to bring division, separation. He don't want anybody to be happy. He's there to disturb and disrupt your children as well. His job is to kill, steal, and destroy. Our job is to keep the whole armor of God on so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. But it's going to come through the Spirit of God, being filled with the Holy Spirit and walking the word of God, meaning studying the word of God, applying the word of God to your everyday life. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. You're going to find a way to keep your mind on him so that he can keep you in perfect peace. On the job, they're going to disturb your peace. On the job. Sometime in your own home, your peace is going to be disturbed. You go shopping sometime. Where the doctor's office, the dentist's office, your peace is going to be disturbed. But if you keep your mind on him, no matter what's going on, you will remain at peace, because it's him that's keeping you in perfect peace. He said in the last, I feel the Spirit of the Lord. Huh? Hey, thank you, His Majesty. He said in the last days he was going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And he began to tell us what people would do, the young ones, the old ones. He began to tell us in this hour God is bringing a fresh word hot off the press direct from heaven to his people. But we won't listen. Many of us, we don't like the truth. Many of us, we don't want to sell out to God. We want God to sell out to us. It's not happening. It was him that made the heavens and earth, not us. But if we could sell out to him with our whole heart, if we could live according to his word daily, we're going to be all right. Let our flesh go so that God can live in us. Make him the God of your life, the Lord of your life. Everything in your life is about him. It's okay that they call me a Bible thumper, a Bible beater. It's okay that they call me a holy roller or whatever they want to call me. I'm good. Because the same ones that call me that many times have to come to me for prayer, have to come to me for the blessings of God, not the blessings of me. I'm simply a vessel he can use. I'm no big thing. I'm no better than nobody else. I don't think more of myself than I ought to because I know it's not me, it's him that worketh in me. It's him that worketh through me. It's him that keep me because I want to be kept. Even in all of this, my righteousness is yet as filthy rags. But he's pouring out his spirit upon the flesh. And he's using me to be a blessing unto his people, to those that can accept the truth and obey it. It's not about money. It's not about prosperity. We all need money. Money answers all things. We all want something nice. We want the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. Yes. How would it feel to ride in a Benz every day? I'm talking about the big Benz. That Bentley. You know what I'm saying? How would it feel to be able to write out $1,000 check to a ministry? You see a family struggling and you can go over there and write them out a $5,000 check. How would that feel? We all want this, but guess what? We want him and to obey his word more, because when we do these things, guess what's going to happen? When we allow the word of God and the spirit of God to line up in us together and we are obeying, he's going to cause these things to happen for us. I was minding my own business yesterday, and he sent his word to tell me, and suddenly, ooh, you know what, and suddenly, and quickly, God quick is quicker than anybody else's quick I ever known. He said, quickly, the blessings of God would begin to overtake me. Things I had been struggling with for years to bring ministry into a positive big place unto his people so that more people can be blessed. Louis, the community that I want to build, the land that I want to buy and build houses so people can have a home who never owned one before. No interest. God's taking care of it. And suddenly told me to begin to pray and walk by faith. Pray like I've never prayed before. Ooh, he didn't say fast. He said pray and pray like I never prayed before. I got to get in prayer, and I'm telling you, I got to talk to the Lord from a sincere heart. So God is moving. And the reason I made the title women and not women and men this morning is because of this. We bear children. We carried the word. Mary carried Jesus. He was the word. He's still the word today. He's the son of the true and living God. The God Jehovah that have all power. There's no higher power. But we carry men and women. They're babies, but they grow to become men and women. It's our job to teach. It's our job to encourage. It's our job to inspire. Any woman that's not doing this, any woman that's doing things to please men or to please the world or to attract men, she haven't come into her place to teach yet. She really haven't come into her place to nurture and to bring forth an army. To bring forth men and women that will become men and women of God, because her job is to train them in the way that they should go, and when they get old, they won't depart from it. I'm not talking to the world right now. I'm talking to the men and women of God. I'm talking to the believer. I'm talking to those that say they are Christians. I'm talking to those that believe this. Those of us that come to God, the key is we must believe. And we must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We got to diligently seek God. We got to diligently seek his word. He said, in all your ways, acknowledge him. You won't direct your path. He's going to direct your path. He didn't say, be wise in your own eyes. Don't do that. You know how sometimes we storm it up before it happens. Well, I would call them about the car, but they're going to tell me no. You already done summed it up. You're being wise in your own eyes. He said, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear him and depart from evil. When you go back and look at verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Look what he said over here, right there, right next to it. And lean not to your own understanding. See, because we're going to lean to our understanding. Well, if I do this, I'm going to get that. Well, if I tell him this, he's going to say, you're leaning to your own understanding. He said, acknowledge him. Don't you sum it up. Acknowledge him in all your ways. He's going to direct your path. I'm going to pray before I talk to my husband about this. I know Louis have heard this many times and others may have heard it. A friend of mine out of Sugar Land, Texas, Teresa. Teresa was having her some babies, huh, that husband. And I think she was on number three or number four. And she was at the sink washing dishes. And she said the house where they lived, they had outgrown this house because her children was growing up. She was, you know, having another baby. And her husband, when he came home from work, she, you know, tried to talk to him about that. And he told her, look, no, we can't look at another house. We can't afford another house. We got to make this one we already got work. We can't do no more, you know. So she said she prayed at the kitchen sink, cooking, you know, dinner. And she said she told the Lord, Lord, touch his heart and let him take me house, honey. And Lord, let us get another house. We've outgrown this one. And he's not thinking right. He's leaning to his own understanding. He's not leaning to you for help. So Teresa says she went on, you know, and they had their dinner and she put the kids to bed and everything, and then they went to bed and everything. And the next day she was at the kitchen sink again, preparing dinner. And this was early in the day, though. And he walked in, and she said she looked, and she was like, wow, he home early. And he walked over to the sink to her, you know, and hugged her and everything and said, listen, you still want to go house hunting? And she said, yes. He said, well, I come home early to take your house hunting. But look now, we just going and look. We're not buying no house. We're just simply going and take a look. So she was all excited, and she said, okay, yes, let's just go take a look. So they went to take a look, and her dream house, she wanted the house to be blue and white on the outside, and she had told God what she wanted on the inside. Well, a realtor was across the street showing another house to some other people. And the realtor yelled over to them, hey, I'll be right over. Y'all go in and take a look. Teresa said when they got in the house, everything she wanted was in the house, everything her husband wanted was in the house. They looking at each other. She said he struck out from her and left her, and he just all through this house. And she was thinking to herself, but he said, you know, He wasn't going to get another house or nothing like that. But look at him, because he was telling, yeah, and we can take this room and make junior room right here. And then the baby nursery would be right. She said, look at this. See, she prayed the prayer of faith and let it go. Where the realtor come over. And they talked to the realtor, and they told the realtor, well, listen, this is a $300,000 house. And they had only approved us for $100,000. And the realtor and Teresa said, but we're going to believe by faith that God is going to do this for us. So Teresa said, well, give us a little history on the house. She said, well, the contractor built this house for him and his family. And this is what he and his wife wanted. But by the time he finished and everything, their children had left home, you know, going different places, and they was not going to be here that often. So he and his wife decided to do something else. And they wanted to sell this one to somebody who, you know, could use it the same way that they had, you know, basically planned. And Teresa said, a real estate lady told her, said, but yeah, you said you're going to trust God for the other $200,000, you know, you're giving me hope. I want a house. And you know what? I'm going to have faith and believe God to give me a house. And Teresa said, she said, and I'll be praying with it. Well, they went on, and when they applied again, they gave them the money they needed to buy this house, sold that old house, and bought this new house. Teresa said she had never been so happy, had plenty of room. Even if she wanted to have another baby after that baby, she still could, because they had the room now. And the just shall live by faith. I want you to understand that and hear that good. And the just shall live by faith. The people of God live by faith. Those of us that first came to him, we had to believe and believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligent, constantly, always, without stopping, from ceasing to seek him. We're going to seek him day and night. We're not letting nothing separate us. But this word of God, if we walk through it, seeking God as we walking through his word, seeking him for wisdom as we walking through his word, God is going to give it to us. And we're going to understand. We're going to have a better life. We're going to be all right. I've had men to tell me, but look, Sister Barbara, I have to have some attraction to them. It should be the Spirit of God living in them that you're attracted to. It should be the presence of the Lord that's always with them. That's what's attracting you to them, because what's in them is what's in you. They should be attracted to you because the Spirit of God is in you. The world don't want to hear this. Church folks don't want to hear this because their flesh wants what it wants. The flesh wants to be pleased, and it's enmity against God. The flesh is a deceiver. It won't help you. It can only hurt you. The things that are spiritual is what will bless you, is what will help you, is what will bring you to an expected end. The spiritual things of God, not the fleshly things. And I'm so glad God moves in this way, because many needed to hear it. Many need to know it. But now, if you see, we don't resist the devil. We need to resist the devil. He'll flee. He's coming back, but every time you got to resist him. But we resist the Spirit of God and say we the people of God. We resist his word, but we say we the people of God. It's about us and what we want more so than anything else, more so than it's about God. But we need to seek him with our whole heart. We need to meditate on what he has done for us. He gave his son. His son gave his life. His son suffered, hung, bled, and died for us. How many times have God come to your rescue? How many times have he have opened doors for you? How many times have he made a way for you? We can't give him 100. We cannot give him 100%. Because I got to hold on to something. I got to have this little piece. Let it go. God is going to replace it with something wonderful. I have told myself, I don't care what happened. I'm not letting God go. Mm-mm. I have made it with no money in my pocket. But I had God. I have made it when my knees were so severe. Because I had God. He's all we need. He's more than we need, but we got to come to the true realization of this and sell out to him with our whole heart. Let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. Father, help us to please you daily. Help us to walk according to your word daily. Teach us, Father. Teach us your wisdom. Give us your understanding and your knowledge for man to understand your word and how to walk upright before you, how to live this everyday life unto you spiritually. Bless us, Lord, and strengthen us to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us not to be like the world and help us not to receive the teachings of man, but we want to receive the teachings of Almighty God. Help us today, Lord, to be yours 100% in the name of Jesus. Father, bless us that our lives would bless you. Bless us that our lives would put a satisfied smile on your face. Bless us, Lord, that our lives would be you and the things that you want for us in the name of Jesus. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. Father, do it for every caller and every listener. Teach us, Lord, how to bring our flesh under subjection. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, teach us how to watch as well as pray in the name of Jesus. Teach us how to wait on you, God. Teach us how to number our days, Father, in the name of Jesus. Teach us how to be quick to hear and slow to speak in the name of Jesus. Teach us, Lord, how to let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in you. You're our Lord and our Redeemer. Let this mind be in us that was also in your son, Christ Jesus. He wanted to please you, Master, and we want to please you. We want to do that which you can accept today in the name of Jesus. Well, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor, Father, right now. We give you the praise for the prayer. And, Father, we believe that it's done. We trust you that it's done in us. And, Father, those of us that need deliverance from anything, bring your deliverance today and set us free. But Father, whom the Son set free is free indeed. Help us, Lord, to let it go, to want to be delivered from it. In Jesus' name, amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're grateful unto him. Listen, we're going to one more quick song of the morning. And when we come back, we're coming back with our first message from R.C. Blake, which is taking your power back. Taking your power back, because he taught us yesterday about the narcissistic games, the games that narcissists play. So today he's teaching you how to take your power back. And then we're going to one that teaches us how to recover from the game, the games that narcissists play. Yeah. So let's go to this one. Well, I got to go to this one song, then we'll go to that one. Oh, where's the song today? All right, here we go.
I started out working on the building a long, long time ago. I turned around in a world of sin, I didn't work on the building anymore. I was lost in the heart of the wilderness. I was standing at the crossing of the road. I heard a voice speak soft and low, telling me which way to go. And he said, it's time to go back home, child. It's time to go back home. You've been wandering in the wilderness much too long. It's time to go back home. I wondered here, I wondered there, months and years had passed. I had plenty of friends all the time, the life I lived was fast. When trouble came around me, all of my friends were gone. But I heard the same voice speaking in my ear, telling me to go back home. He said, it's time to go back home, child. It's time to go back home. You've been wandering in the wilderness much too long. It's time to go back home. I finally did what the voice said. I turned and took my place. I'm working back, singing in the choir, God's amazing grace. I know Jesus, he loves me so, and this is how I know. That same voice speaking to me, telling me the way to go. He said, it's time to go back home, child. It's time to go back home. You've been wandering in the wilderness much too long. It's time to go back home.
Hello and welcome to Let's Talk with Bishop R.C. Blakes. R.C. is an author, empowerment teacher, and the proud pastor of the New Home Ministries of New Orleans, Louisiana, and Houston, Texas. His message circles the globe. His conversational and candid approach to challenging content makes him a relevant voice to all generations. Get ready for a life-changing transformational conversation.
Good morning. I just want to share some things with you today as it relates to taking back your power. That's a theme that's kind of been on my heart for a few days now, actually. I saw it written somewhere, and it just kind of resonated with me, taking back your power. And the reason I think it resonates with me is because so many of us relinquish our power, our capacity, our true abilities in life to the whims and wishes of other people. You know, we become the puppets at the end of the string or the strings that other people are controlling. And we lose our power. And when you lose your power, you lose your identity. You lose your confidence. Your self-esteem is drained. That's the problem with most people in the world, especially the United States of America. We are managed by groups. We're managed by peers. We're managed by others. There are very few authentic people that you will find, because most are either willingly or unknowingly controlled by someone or something else. And so this is the time that the Spirit of God is saying, take your power back. You know, be who and what I designed you to be. Accomplish what I established you to accomplish. Now that begins, you know, this whole process begins with learning how to live in the world, learning how to live in a world today as you arise this morning, or if you're watching this at some later point in the day, but every day when you get up, knowing how to live in this world, knowing that the world is constantly working to sabotage your authenticity, to substitute your identity, and to diminish you to a level that is beneath you. And there's a passage of scripture that really speaks to me. In James 1:19, I think it is, he says, "Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to get angry." I think all of us should adopt that text as a daily practice. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Then it goes on, I think, in the 20th verse, and it says, "For the wrath of man, or the anger of man, works not the righteousness of God." You cannot accomplish God's best if you do not master that text. Swift to hear. Rather than opening your mouth, learning to, on a daily basis, open your ears first. Because whenever you're speaking, your heart is exposed. The one that is speaking, his or her heart is exposed. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does speak. So when you're speaking, everybody in the room is able to get a gauge on your heart, where your heart is. If they're skilled enough, they can tell how healthy your heart is. If they're skilled enough, they can even determine where your vulnerabilities are. So rather than entering the world with a run your mouth all day first kind of mentality, be swift to hear. Learn to shut up. Even when you have an opinion, learn to shut up and just continue to listen. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, even when you think it's time to speak. This is how you take your power back. Understand that everything you think or everything you know does not mean that you should speak it at that time or to those people. Before you speak, you should ask yourself a few questions. Number one, in fact, the first question is not even to you, it's to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, should I say this? And then you ask, if the Holy Spirit says yes, how should I say this? How much of this should I say? Because remember, when you open your mouth, you've exposed your heart. And once words leave your mouth, you can't take them back. There are some of you that are watching this right now who have been made prisoner to words that you spoke a long time ago, and certain people won't let you outlive it. And you've said to yourself on a number of occasions, if I could just take back that, if I could have just shut my mouth up. How many of you have committed yourselves to things before you knew it because you started speaking too fast? Swift to hear, slow to speak. Let people have to ask you for your opinion. And before you give it, pause. Take your time. I was watching an interview of somebody. They were interviewing somebody, and a question was asked of this person on camera, and the person paused, literally, just like this. And the person that was doing the interview said, you know, did I, you know, something to the effect, did I catch you off guard? No, no. I'm thinking about what to say. There's a wise person. People often ask, why do I, even in the midst of my preaching or my discussions or my lecturings, there are times I take pauses. It's because between the pause, I'm praying about what to say, if to say, how to say. Because I don't want to use my words and then become the prisoner to my own words. Swift to hear, when you learn to be swift to hear, you then get a gauge on everybody that's in the room. You can begin to discern. Most of you can't discern because you're not swift to hear. Slow to speak. You get caught up in these trick bags because you talk too much, too fast. And you're relinquishing your power with your words. And then finally he says, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. When you find yourself getting angry, you have to understand that that is a reflection of the condition of your soul. Wherever a person is angered easily, there is the potential for you and or I to make a fool of ourselves. If a person wants to discredit you, if a person wants to diminish your influence, you know, in the midst of a certain group, all they have to do is push that button that makes you angry. When you find yourself getting angry, you understand that there is some self-work and some spiritual work you must do. Because if you do the first two, swift to hear, slow to speak, you'll discern the person that's in the circle that's there for your harm. And once you know them, there should be no power within them to make you angry. You should separate yourself from them. You should see their folly from a distance. And you should be able to circumvent that folly with not a reaction, but with a response. So today as you go, you're going to find people that are going to try to push your buttons to make you angry. Don't react. Just respond. Sometimes all the response you need to give is, thank you. You don't need to try to explain yourself. Thank you. You no good and you ugly. You dumb. Thank you for your opinion. God bless you now. There you know never to return. Dust your feet. But if you do these three things today, you'll begin to take your power back. Swift to hear. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. Now my prayer for you today is that the Spirit of God will take you up. Take you up into a lofty place. The Bible says wisdom is too high for a fool. Father, I thank you today for this wisdom. Let it soak into the hearts of every person that will hear it. And now, God, my prayer is that all that feel as though they are powerless, that they're on some sort of a treadmill they're not in control of, my prayer is, dear God, that you will give them their power back. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. I'm R.C. Blakes, and this is Morning Glory. I'm coming to you all the way from Madrid, Spain. But I want you to have a great day today, and I want you to know that you're on top and you're going higher. God has more in store. God bless you. Heaven's angel, so strong,
struggle, yeah. When life comes like a storm from every angle, she rises above it all.
Ooh, hey guys, what's happening? R.C. Blakes here. I am so excited to be able to share with you, and my prayers that something will be said that will help you in a very, very real way. I'm doing this particular message because in our last time together, we discussed the game and how the game is played. And so I thought, and then based on some of the email I got, some of the messages I got, I realized that I had to come back and finish this. I had to deal with how does a woman recover from the game? When a woman has invested all of her life, you know, from a teenager on up into womanhood, into believing that these concepts of love and relationship and value, you know, were all smoke screens, and ends in her own broken consciousness and an emptied self-esteem, how does she recover from that? That has to be, and not only, well, that is a very traumatic reality to come to terms with. And I've seen many days in my meetings when I, back in the days when we could actually have physical meetings and I would do queenology, I would get to certain parts of the teaching, and I would see women just begin to weep. I mean, I'm talking about dignified, professional, well-educated women. I'm talking about women who may not have such great education, you know, maybe working a minimum wage job, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Indian, doesn't matter, you know, 60, 70, 18, 20, 25, it doesn't matter. They come to this reality where they wake up to the fact that all of this has been a game. And it becomes a very traumatic wave that kind of takes over them, you know. And so I didn't want to just leave you there, you know, with this is the game. Okay, that is the game. But now, and if you haven't seen that video, go back and watch it. Back about it, I'll put a whatever thing in the corner there so you can click on it and get to it. How does a woman recover from that when you've been gamed and you've been deceived and you've been hurt, you've been scammed, you've been bamboozled, run amok? How does a woman recover from that? Well, the first thing I will say to you, is that the reason it is so painful and the reason it hurts so bad is it's not because you're weak. It's because of the time you've spent on this. This is why you're torn between, should I let this go and move on with my life? And you know, you're back and forth, you're vacillating. It's because of the time spent. You've spent so much time on this so-called relationship that turns out to be a situationship. It's the hope that you had, you know, it's the time spent, you're feeling now like it was time wasted, and now it's the hope that you had. You had hopes that this was it, you know, finally in my search, and finally I can get my life together, and I can live my life to the full like I desire to live it. And then it's the future plans that you had. You had so many plans for you and so, and now to come to the reality, to finally wake up and realize that so-and-so was never really on the same page, but he was just really in a transactional mode. He was in it for what he could get out of it, and he was just running game. it's very heavy, you know, and it's the reason that you're so frantic right now. It's the reason that you're so broken. It's not because you're weak. You're not weak. You were just blindsided. Did you catch that? Great place right there to just take a breath, because that was a lot. It's not that you're weak, because see, that's what your mind is trying to tell you. That's what your ego is trying to tell you. Oh, you're weak. You're weak. You're weak. It's not that you were weak. You were blindsided. It was not what you thought it was, and you were blindsided. So stop looking down on yourself. Let's start right there. Stop looking down on yourself for your own humanity. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop looking down on yourself for having been human. But let's jump in. Number one, how does a woman recover from the game? Number one, trying to enunciate. My wife is working on me. I'm trying to get that southern thing out of my, you know, I'm trying to get that out so I can be understood. Number one, stop playing a losing game. Stop playing a losing game. See, because you're gonna have the unction, the tendency, the compulsion to, like a gambler, you're going to have this idea, okay, I got so much invested, I think I'll keep playing until I win. You can't win this game. You have to walk away from this table. The game is rigged. You have to stop playing a losing game. When you realize that you're losing, you got to stop playing. Now, at some point, you ladies are going to have to become your own community, healthy community. And some of you that have lived a little bit are going to have to share with those who are just starting. Some of you have lived long enough to realize that you keep going back and you keep playing this game thinking that somehow you're going to force yourself to win, and you waste years, you waste decades. The sooner you wake up and you realize that this is game and the game is rigged against me, you got to stop playing. Listen to what the Bible says. Now, that's for those of you who are still sitting on the fence and you're like listening and you're biting your nails, and then another part of you is saying, maybe I'll go back. I think if I do this, I can turn him in. I can change him. I can make him love me. If I give him more sex, I can make him love me. If I lose some weight, I can make him love me. You know, if I get some, plastic surgery and look younger, I can make, you can't. It's a losing game. You got to stop. Once you realize that you're in the middle of a rigged system, you have to stop playing the game. If you want to recover from the game, you can't recover from the game while still in the game. If you ever looked at any professional sport, football, basketball, baseball, somebody gets hurt, they don't leave them on the field. They can't be helped until they are removed from the game. You have to remove yourself from the game. Listen to what the Bible says in Haggai 1, verses 6 and 7. It says, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but there's none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Think about, just, you know, for a minute, step outside of this experience of me talking to you and begin to think about what you've invested, what you've done, what have you gotten back for it. Consider your ways. It's futile to stay in a situation that has proven to you over and over and over and over again, you come up on the losing end. That's a lot of hard truth. You probably need to take a breath right there, because that's like a gut punch, but it's a necessary truth that you need to hear. You're not going to turn this around. This is not going to turn into a fairy tale. This was a nightmare from the beginning. So you separate yourself and we start talking about stop playing a losing game. Practically, this means that you separate yourself from the source of your problem. I call it in one of my teachings, separating yourself from the source of your poisoning. And mental health professionals would call this coming to a place where you intentionally go no contact, where you just put yourself in a position where you don't contact this person and you don't allow this person to contact you. You shut down, you lock all of the gates to the walls around your life. You lock all of the gates to this person so that there is no contact. Now, no contact is the start of no impact. If you sincerely want to get to the point where this person that has wrecked your life no longer has an impact on you, you have to make up your mind to embrace the tough choice to go no contact. No contact is the beginnings of no impact. You ultimately want to get to the place where this person no longer impacts you, because the Bible says wisdom is too high for a fool. You want to rise to the next dimension above this person. So the isolation that I'm calling for, when you start talking about stop playing a losing game, it means to isolate yourself from this individual. The isolation is for the purpose of, or the purposes of, psychological and emotional insulation. You have to pull yourself away from this person so that you can heal. And that not only must you heal, but then you have to reinforce. You have to insulate your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions so that when you encounter this person again or people like this person, you are no longer the same gullible individual, but you've been transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, right now, this is the process of what? Renewing your mind. Though some of the things I'm saying to you may make you want to cut this thing off and not hear this. Your mind is being renewed, and that means what? You're being insulated. But we can't insulate your soul until we get you separated. The Bible says it this way, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I'll receive you. So the isolation is for the purposes of psychological and emotional insulation. It's where you can go back into a toxic culture as a healthy and whole queen conscious woman, and you cannot be impacted by this culture because your soul has been insulated. The problem is that most of you have been released into a toxic world with no insulation. Now, number two, you have to embrace the pain of withdrawal. So stop playing a losing game, which means I'm calling for you to make up your mind that you're going to shut this down. You're going to shut off contact. You're going to isolate yourself from this individual, and you're not going to run and jump into some other relationship because you ain't ready for that yet. You need to isolate. You need to be in a posture of no contact. Number two, you have to embrace the pain of withdrawal. Now, what does that mean? It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt, and there's going to be a part of you that's going to long for this person, as hard as that is for you to hear, and as crazy as that sounds to another part of your being, you know it's true. There's a part of you that's going to long for your oppressor, your abuser. Because it's going to be like coming off of drugs. I've never done it, but I've watched people do it. And it's a very painful process to allow that stuff to empty out of your system. And the individual has to embrace the idea or the reality that I'm going to have withdrawals and that it's going to hurt for me to break out of this broken consciousness and to step into my queen consciousness, that I am no longer a PhD woman manipulated by GED men, a queen being run by a clown. It's going to hurt as I shift levels, but pain, I've heard it said, is weakness leaving the body. That's what they say in the gym. I put it this way, pain is weakness leaving the soul. Sometimes the indication that your soul is healing and that you're growing and moving into a healthy place is the pain you feel. Another way I put it, which is my own, I coined this, let your heart break and your soul will heal. Let your heart break and your soul will heal. There are some things in life, you just have to accept it. The only way I can get to this level, the only way I can break out of this bondage is to embrace this pain. And listen to what the Bible says in 1 Peter 5, 8 through 10. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after, listen to the principle, after that you have suffered a while, he will make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. There's more in this process than pain. If you embrace the pain of the withdrawal, you're not going to just get pain out of this. The pain is pregnant with tremendous possibilities. Now some of this pain is going to show up in ways like, or in things like this. You'll have a craving for the synthetic love. In other words, there will be a craving in you for that fake pseudo-love that you accepted for so long that kept breaking you and kept diminishing you and kept emptying your self-esteem even more, kept separating you from yourself. It was never real. It was always a synthetic love. And there will be a craving in you for that synthetic love. And you will have to remind yourself, this was and still is synthetic. It's not real. It's not real. It was always a dream. It was never reality. And then you're going to also have feelings of shame and guilt. These are going to be some of the pains of withdrawal. The craving for that synthetic love. You know, I want it because it's, watch this, the reason you're going to crave that synthetic love is because it's all you've ever known to be love. And you're afraid, if I let this go, there may not be anything other than this, which is where a lot of you are. You have become so cynical about life. You think that the stuff you've experienced is all there is. So you make statements like, all men are dogs. There's no such thing as this or that. And the reality is you got to allow yourself to go through the withdrawals to get that out of your system. And then you have to understand that you're going to have these feelings of shame and guilt. You're going to be ashamed that you allowed a person that is so, what's the word I'm looking for? Shallow, depleted of character, inferior, you know, many times inferior intellectually and spiritually. You're going to be ashamed that you allowed this person to get such a grip on you. But it really was never them. It was the fake dream that the system has set you up to pursue. And the system conditions you to fall prey to someone like this. So you're going to have feelings of guilt and shame. But let me say this to you. Let your pain be your proctor. And just take a breath right there. What is a proctor? It's really like an instructor, teacher. Let your pain be your teacher. Let your pain be your guide. Don't only take the hurt from the pain, but take the lessons. Because there are jewels. There are jewels in your pain and in your shame, and they're called lessons. They're called lessons. Listen to what the Bible says in Proverbs 1:20-23. He says, "Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long will ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." Wisdom is always crying out. And quite often the megaphone of wisdom is your painful experience. If you stop for a minute and if you just embrace the pain and you look through the pain for the lessons, you discover that everything you need to learn is contained in the pain that you're experiencing. Most people ignore and miss the teacher in the pain because of the pain itself. You're so busy trying to get rid of the pain. Sometimes you got to feel it to heal it. You have to embrace it and go through it and look deeper and say, now, God, what are you teaching me through this? What do I need to learn that I don't go through this again? This is how one woman can go through it and come out of it, while another woman goes through it time and time and time and time and time and time again. She keeps feeling the pain, but she never learns the lessons. So you have to embrace the pain of withdrawal. Number three, you have to unlearn and relearn. The stuff that you've learned clearly ain't right. The stuff that you've learned clearly ain't right. Number three, you're going to have to unlearn and relearn. There are things that you've been taught about what makes a woman attractive. You're going to have to unlearn that stuff. And you have to ask yourself a question like, attractive to who? You know, attractive to who? You know, okay, I'll give you a real one. You've been taught that a woman needs to go out in public just about half naked, to the point that most of y'all are comfortable with that. You know, where your skirt is just about showing all the cheeks of your, and some of y'all do it actually. You know, all of this out and everything, and nothing holding nothing together, and you out in the street, and they taught you wrong. They taught you that. That's going to attract a man. That may attract a man. In fact, it will attract a man, attract a little man child, a little boy. It'll get you some sex, but that ain't attracting no husband. Ain't no husband looking for no woman that's out in the street naked all the time, all over the Instagram naked all the time. You know, but you were taught that. And so that's the way you express your feminine energy, but it's really not your feminine energy as much as it is your broken consciousness you're expressing. And it shows that you've been indoctrinated by toxic male society. So you got to unlearn that stuff, that I got to show my body to attract a man. Wrong, wrong. Wrong, wrong. You got to start living like a wife. If you ever gonna be a wife on paper, you got to be a wife in heart and in practice. You got to be a wife now, and that doesn't mean that you go around, you know, like a hermit with your, you know, you got a little figure, show your figure, wear your stuff that you like, you know, feel good about yourself. But you're not supposed to be going overboard like the world has taught you. You know, got all your body parts out there. No, nothing left to the imagination. A real grown man wants something left to the imagination, and he certainly does not want his woman out there in the streets showing everybody what belongs to him. So there are things you got to unlearn. And see, some of you are pushing back right now. I can feel you getting a little tense because I'm dealing with stuff that's knocking at your door, and you looking at your closet, and you realize that 90% of this stuff you got in your closet need to go if this dude is telling the truth. And you may need to have you a big garage sale. In fact, you don't even need to have a garage sale. You just need to go and do something with that stuff. But the wisest point in a person's life is when they wake up to the realization, I've been taught wrong. And because I've been taught wrong, I've been doing wrong. And I've been getting the wrong results. I've been getting results that are beneath me because I was taught wrong, I did wrong, I got wrong results, and now I have to come to this point, watch this, where I realize I know nothing. When you come to the point and you realize that you've been taught wrong and this stuff that you've been that's been poured into your head is wrong, you got to dump that stuff and you got to realize I know nothing. When you come to the place where you're empty and you say, you approach the process and you say, I know nothing. I need to relearn what womanhood is, what life is about, what a man is, what a relationship looks like. It's there. It's when you get to that point that wisdom comes. Now some of the stuff that you've got to unlearn is you got to, let me see how I wrote it. You must reject false metrics of value. You have to reject the world's false metrics, how you measure something of value, how the world values you or puts a value on you. And how is that basically done? Youth, size, sexuality, all of that stuff is temporal. All of that stuff is fleeting, is passing away. It lasts for a little while. What is life about when I'm no longer a little teeny bopper? What is life about when I'm no longer two or three? I may be a 13. What is life about when we've both gotten to a point where, ain't nobody ain't nobody really that focused on the sexuality no more. We just basically focused on taking care of one another and trying to build a future for our children and our grandchildren. These are false metrics where the world says if you're not a certain age, if you're not a certain size, if you're not leading with your sex appeal, if you're not showing me something, if you're not revealing something to me, if I can't go to your Instagram, if I can't go to your Facebook and see a little something, these are false metrics. You have to begin to reject that. Your value is in more than your youth. Your value is never in your size. Your value is never in your sexuality. There's a value in that when you're married. But your sexuality as a woman should not be something that you lead with in a world where you're single. Because once you bring a man to the sexual level and then you want to back and you want him to see you for your intellect and your spirit, it's nearly going to be impossible. Because when you stir a man up sexually, he doesn't see anything else but sex. And so now you want him to see that I have a brain, I have a good heart, but you brought him to the sex out of turn. So you have to reject false metrics of value. You know, it's not your age, it's not your size, it's not how sexy you are. You have to unlearn the programming to jump on command or at command. You know, like a circus animal or something. Jump! You know, dude supposed to pick you up Friday, didn't even call. Here it is Sunday night at 9:00. He finally calls. I'm going to swing through in a half hour. And now you tell me, I'm mad with you. How much time you say? Half hour. Now you jumping. You like that girl in Coming to America. That girl's just jumping. And, you know, just like a circus animal or something like that. You got to unlearn that programming, that you just jumping, you know, to the call of every little jive man that has made no commitments to you. It's interesting how, watch this, when a woman is in a toxic relationship, an abusive relationship, she jumps like that, and then she gets into a marriage with a good man, and then she has a struggle with submission to a man that's working for her, loving her, respecting her, taking care of her. I'm trying to get you to see how, you know, your mind has been poisoned. You was with this guy that was beating you up, dragging you across the floor, cheating on you, didn't care, cussed you out, didn't care what you think. You just jumped. You jumped on command. Now you got a good guy, a decent man that's respectful and loves you, and you struggling with submission. You sitting around there with rocks in your jaws and all this kind of thing. Okay, I'm going to leave that alone. I got enough trouble right there. Therapists, when you start talking about unlearning the programming, therapists will help you to figure out the roots to these strongholds. What makes you compliant? What makes you as a strong, independent woman? What makes you compliant to the abusive commands of a toxic man? Let us see under unlearning and relearning. Unlearn the self-deprecating language used to reinforce the chains on your brain. You're using what the oppressive, toxic man does is he introduces language into your soul that you pick up and you begin to regurgitate it, and not realizing that it's reinforcing your own bondage. And it's language something that it goes something like this: I'm too fat, or I'm too skinny. So you never have, you really never have a body appreciation. You know, most women are struggling with the way their bodies look. Even women that are small are struggling. They think they're too small. Women that are heavier think they're too heavy. Nobody's ever really content or satisfied with the package that the Creator has put you in. I'm too dark, or I'm too light. You got black women bleaching. You got white women burning up chemicals and all kinds of stuff. Skin cancer, because toxic male culture has taught you that you got to stay off balance. You're never really good enough. I'm too educated. How many of you have backed out of your continued education, your higher learning, because you didn't want to be more educated than the population of men in your geographical area, so you dumb yourself down? Or I'm not educated enough. Here's a good one. I'm not sexy enough. And what does that mean? I need to take off more. And then you take off more, then they say, well, you're too sexy. See, you got to stop. Number one, if a person doesn't treat you right, they're not going to teach you right. Why would you allow toxic male culture to be the proctor or the instructor in your life relative to your womanhood? If I don't treat you right, I'm not going to teach you right. I forget who said that, but it's not mine. You will never please. You got to unlearn now. And you got to relearn. You will never please toxic male culture. You'll never please, because the oppressor will never empower the oppressed. The oppressor will never empower the oppressed. You can jump through every hoop you can imagine. You can try to check off every list. And by the time you think you got it all done, they're going to create a new list, because they want to keep you, what, hopping. You got to unlearn. And then number four, let me see how much more I got here. Good God Almighty. Okay, let me hurry up here. Number four, you have to have a formal introduction to yourself. Most of you have never met yourselves. You have no real concept of who you are. Now, when we start talking about having a formal introduction to yourself, this happens in a period where you intentionally dedicate your life to you for a season, and you learn to know and love yourself. How many of you watching me right now have never had a season where you dedicated that season to you and self-discovery. Because having a formal introduction to yourself is about, watch this, self-discovery, self-definition, and self-development. It does not involve anyone else. Everybody needs a season in life where you have nobody in your life and your focus is on you. Self-discovery, self-definition, and self-development. And see, having a formal introduction to yourself, getting to know you, what you like, what you want, what you don't want, what you don't like, you know what I mean? What makes you happy as an individual, that creates a health in you. And until you can look at the world through healthy eyes, you will always ascribe, listen to this very carefully. This is why number four is important, having a formal introduction to yourself, getting to know you as an individual. Because until you can look at the world through healthy eyes, you will always ascribe value to trash. And you will lack discernment of assets. It's not until you get, see, you know who they are and you know what they want and what they said, but who are you? What do you really want? What do you really have to say about this? Now, a few things that I jotted down relative to developing what I call a relationship with yourself. Number one, learn and scrutinize your history. You learn a lot about yourself when you begin to really look at your history and what you've gone through. It will teach you a lot about why you think the way you think and why you react the way you react, why you accept the things you accept. You can really do a lot of self-therapy if you just really look over and scrutinize your history. Second thing is that you need to embrace the ordained seasons of selfishness. All of this is under number four, where we're talking about having a formal introduction to yourself. You got to have this season of selfishness where it's all about you, you know, and this is where you discover who you are. This is about self-discovery and self-development. This is not a narcissistic trip. This is about self-discovery and self-development. I can't really appreciate you until I really know who I am. And then I put under there, you got to ask the questions that reveal your core. The questions that you need to ask yourself. What lingering hurts have I allowed to define me? Write that down and think about that tonight. What lingering hurts have I allowed to define me? What are my weaknesses and what are my shame? What is my shame? What are my guilts? Because those things are what? Poisoning you and preventing you from being functional. And then ultimately you need to ask yourself the question, who am I? Why do I exist? What do I want? What makes me happy? What is my contribution to the world? See, when you start thinking like this, you realize that all of this energy you've been putting into all of these fake relationships has been a waste of time on things that are not priority. Priority is that you find and discover you. The reason you keep choosing wrong is because you don't know who you are. And when you don't know who you are, you accept anything that comes because you have no boundaries. And then number five, I guess this is this five? So much here, y'all. And then number five, you got to learn to appreciate actual value. And I'm done. You have to learn to appreciate actual value. And all of this is, how does a woman recover from the game? Stop playing a losing game. Number one, you realize that you're losing. Stop playing. You got to know when to fold them, know when to hold them. Number two, embrace the pain of withdrawal. It's going to hurt you to change the level of your consciousness. Embrace it. The pain does not last. It's temporary. Number three, you have to unlearn and you have to relearn. You got to unlearn the old conditioning that continues to put you in a position of a woman that's female slave conditioned. Number four, you need a formal introduction to yourself. The kind of energy that you've put into meeting and knowing other people is the kind of energy you need to give to actually knowing yourself and your purpose and finding out why the Creator made you and put you here on the planet, and then do that. Marry your purpose. Marry your purpose. Marry your purpose. But you can't do that until you have a formal introduction to yourself. And then number five, you have to learn to appreciate actual value. Now, that's a big one for me, because I think I'm getting ready to start digging a little more into what you're attracted to as a woman and why are you attracted to it. You have to learn to appreciate actual value. See, many of you, I wish I had it in here, are like, okay, many of you, you know, anything that glitters, so I can come in with a big old piece of glass, literally, big old piece of glass, and flash it. Ooh, look at the diamond. But you see, a jeweler who's at a different level of consciousness and intentionally looks deeper, because the jeweler understands that you can't determine value by the flash. You have to look deep into a thing to determine value. So everybody that's teaching you that your value is on the surface, you go to a jeweler and you bring a so-called diamond, he's going to pull out a thing called a loop, and he's going to look deep into that stone. He's going to be looking for carbon and all kind of stuff, the clarity, whereas you just excited about the way it's shining. Ooh, look what I got. The jeweler's going to look deep, because the jeweler has an appreciation for actual value. See, I say to you, there's a difference between value and profile. And the sad reality is that you've continued to get caught up in the game because you've always been attracted to profile. As I said the other night, just because a man pulls up in a Ferrari doesn't mean he can afford it. Or a Lamborghini, I think I said. You got to stop being impressed by this surface level stuff, and you got to get a loop, and you got to begin to look deeper. You got to begin to look deeper. Learn to appreciate actual value and stop being so excited about profile. It's kind of like this illustration I use all the time. A person takes $1 million and puts it in a fast food bag with grease stains and throws it on the side of the road, puts a brick in it so it won't blow away. More than likely, they come back 3-4 days later, it's still there. A person takes a box of trash, a bag of trash, pours it in a box, wraps the box with beautiful paper, put a big bow on it, makes a nice profile, put it on the side of the road, come back 15 minutes later, it's gone. Because most of us are conditioned to believe that value is on the surface, and the way it looks is the way it is. It ain't so. Value is deep. That's why some of you have missed great men, because you looking at what's shining and glittering when you should have been looking deeper for real value. Mm-hmm. Now, we can talk more about that, but it's your responsibility to learn to appreciate actual value.
Yes.
So a few things I want you to remember as I go. You are enough as you are. Write these down somewhere. You are enough as you are. Number two. You do not need to perform. Write these down, and these should probably become some of your daily affirmations. I am enough as I am. I do not need to perform for anybody. Number three, the only pressure I should feel is the pressure of competing with the best version of myself. All of us should be getting better and changing, but you shouldn't be changing for me. I shouldn't be changing for you. I should be changing for the reality in my own soul of the best version of R.C. Blakes Jr. You should be in competition with your own inner view, perspective of the best version of you. Number four, you must pause and rethink you. Because a lot of what you've been conditioned to believe is actually you is not. It's what the world has forced upon you, and you've just been like a robot. So you have to pause. I must pause and rethink me. Who am I? What do I want? What makes me happy? What fulfills me? And then number five, I must be intentional about not being angry. Because when you've gone through this and you've been hurt, you've been broken, you become what looks like an angry person, but it's really pain expressing itself. And you want to make certain that you control that because you don't want to project anger onto the world, because God is bringing you into new circles with healthier people that are going to treat you differently, and you can't make them pay for what another man did. And so I hope that you've gotten something out of this. This is my response to many of you who emailed me and said, well, Pastor, how do I overcome? How does a woman recover from the game? Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for this time that I've had with these queens and even some kings, dear God. Thank you, Father, that you are supernaturally bringing healing to our hearts. Every place that is broken, you're mending. And I thank you now, God, for doing a new thing in them. I thank you for the testimonials that something shifted in my life. The Holy Spirit did a new thing in me. I thank you, God, for bringing healing and restoration in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, I need you to do a few things. If this is your first time here, I need you to subscribe. I need you to go to my website and sign up for my mailing list. I need you to be on. Thank you.
Radio not just for your ears, but also for your spirit. Jesus in the Morning Radio. And you're with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. R.C. Blake this morning. I tell you, I love that R.C. Blake. I love his teachings and the way God is using this man in this hour to help many. Because many people need the help. Now, you're going to have those who don't want the help. They need it, but they don't want it. And they think that what they're doing is going to change the man or the woman. Oh, yeah, they think it's coming. But when I tell you this, it's not happening. At all your time spent, when you look up, you've been fooled up and bamboozled and swindled for 20-something years. All of your young life, all of the good, healthy life you had, you done wasted it on foolishness because God brought you a message, but you refused to hear it. You refused to obey what God was giving to you so that you could be happy. Because it's turn on, turn off, turn up, turn down. Yeah, the day I'm feeling good, you know, she making me happy today, tomorrow she's not. 2 days can't go by before the real them, the narcissists in them, these demons begin to work again. So you don't have just a straight across pattern where you can be happy. You have to dumb down yourself so that that other person can be happy. You miserable. You sad. The other person is hyped. They happy. They going on about their lives. Why? They got an obedient admirer. Yeah. Listen, it's Testify Friday, and the studio is open. Feel free to press that number one this morning and come in. And if you have something you would like to share, you know, about what he said, or you might want to give a testimony of your experience, you know, or someone you knew who went through this and, you know, whatever it is that you feel led to share today, please feel free. Come in this morning and share with us. I just hurt for people. I'm telling you, I see so much and I hurt for the people. And especially when they can't bring their flesh under subjection and come out of this thing. Because God showed you what it was, but you going back to God, telling God change it. He's telling you, I'm not. This is beyond you. You sleeping with the enemy. You're working with demonic forces, and I can't bless that. I can't even change it because they don't want it changed. And I won't come against their will, but we started crying to God, Lord, make them better, Lord God, change their heart, give them this, do that, Lord God. And I can't do it. They don't want it. You want it for them, but they don't want it for themselves. I worked in drug and alcohol treatment. And there were so many people come through the program, and I really wanted the best for these people. Some of them was really smart. Not spiritually, but naturally, they were smart. Spiritually, they were still dealing. Ignorant wasn't a word. It was beyond ignorant. And they didn't want spiritual. They wanted to continue in the natural. These people had much. Some of them had so much, they didn't even know how much they had, and I'm talking about materialistic things. Some of these people had so much land as far as you see. They owned it all. Some of them could walk in the bank and they said, hello, good morning, Mr. So-and-so, and this one over here, good morning. The bank people know them personally. The bank people telling them what the property appraisal of somebody in the property department said about their property. And they all but cuss the property people out, talking to the bank man, then goes down to the property office and physically cuss them out. They don't threaten them or nothing because they own so much. But the person have an addiction, whether it be drugs and alcohol or other drugs. And when you see how much they have and how much they could do and what they could do for other people, it was ridiculous. But those spirits that they allowed to live in them, they took over. And they would tell them, no, don't do nothing. I would go and carry them to the bank and they would get a large lump sum of money and give it to a relative to take back to the other ones that's left, that's still desiring drugs and alcohol, so that they could continue their saga of addictions, all kinds. Oh my goodness. And I would minister. It was against the job regulations now to minister, rules and regulations. But I couldn't help myself. You know, and things like, what are you going to do? And they would say, about what? You know, and I would say, Jesus is returning. And when he would return, what condition will he find you in? I had one man come to me and he said, that's what I'm afraid of, Barbara. I said, what? After I got everybody else, you know, in the place where they was going, he said, I'm afraid God is going to come back and I'll be drunk when he returns. I said, well, there is something you can do about it. You know, and I ministered to him and I told him about if you come unto God, you know, if you come to him, he will in no wise cast you out. But you got to believe that not only he's hearing you, but he's going to turn that around for you. He's going to take the desire of the very addiction desire away from you. You will no longer desire alcohol. I said, but the only way, you have to get serious with him and you have to have a desire not to want to do it. I see this man 6 months later. He had been in the program 262 times when I was there. I see him 6 months later and he says, hey, Barbara. And I said, hello. I didn't know him, you know, remember him, I should say. The face appeared to be familiar, but I didn't really remember him. You know, you done dealt with so many people. So he said, oh, you don't know me. And I was like, yes, I know your face looks familiar, but I can't remember your name. And he told me his name again. I said, my goodness. He was nicely dressed in this brown and khaki outfit, matching brown hat, haircut, shaved up, cleaned up. And he said, yeah, Barbara, I remember talking to you. I said, yeah, I remember that now. He said, and Barbara, I left that program and I haven't had a drink in I can't tell you how long, almost. I said, okay. He said, and I have a job down at the hotel on First Avenue, and I'm the supervisor of maintenance. I was like, what? He was like, yeah, I have a real good job, Barbara. And I'm doing good. I'm talking to my family and we're working things out, because he was married too. And he said, the wife is, you know, willing to, you know, talk to me, and we're trying to see if we can work things out. God is able, but we got to want him. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. When I see people leave God for a man, leave God for a woman, that's a hurting thing. That's very hurting. Because you let him who made you for his pleasure, you let him who is keeping you alive, keeping the breath in your body, cause you to be able to have the use and activity of your limbs, your life, your health, your strength, even allowed you to have a mind. But you decided to let your mind give more to your natural flesh than you would to the spirit of God that's hurting. Some days it's just outright disturbing. Do you hear me? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And see, people like to play with God. They don't think that they are. And sometimes they're tempting God and they don't even know it. But when God tells you something, we need to listen. We'll override things. We'll make excuses because of what we want naturally. Our flesh wants this. It's not the spirit wanting it. Because anything the spirit of God wants, he can do. Yeah, but it's what we want. In many cases, God is saying, come out from among them and be separated. I'm your God. You're my people. We won't hear that. Well, Lord, you can change them. Change them, God. Give them a change of heart and mind. The Lord is saying, I can't. It's not what they're willing to do. I've come and I've given them options and I made it easy for them to come out. They refuse. They do not want to. When we look back at the day of Noah, God said he wouldn't always strive with man. Man was evil and he was becoming more evil. Not everybody's going back with God. Not everybody's going to love God, serve him, worship him, praise him, adore him. Not everyone is going to do that. Yeah. And we know God can change the narcissist. He can change the evil hearts. But the person must want to change. So we have to choose this day who we're going to serve, whether it be our flesh or whether it's going to be God. Who will you serve today? What and who will be the God of your life? Because many times we make these people the God of our lives. They're ruling and reigning in our lives. And the sad part is we're allowing this. We don't have to, but we choose to because it's what we want. Yeah, it's what we want. And our prayer today is let this mind be in us that was also in your son, Christ Jesus. And God, we will obey you. And we will give our whole heart to you. Give our bodies, our mind, our souls. We give it to you today. Make us over again. Wash us in your precious blood again. Wash us clean. Give us a new heart, oh God. And renew the right spirit within us today in the name of Jesus. Because this is what we need. We got to walk through that word and allow the spirit of God and his word to rule and reign in our lives. Again, make him first. Everything else can fall in place on its own because he'll see that it does. But we must give our all to him. He's worthy. I've never known of anything or anyone more worthy than me to give my all to Almighty God. He loved me. Sent his son to die for me. Gave his son to die for me. Die was no joke. He suffered for me. And I want to give my flesh more than I give his spirit. Yeah, something is wrong with the picture. But again, the studio is open. We're going to one more song of the morning. And
amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that brought
my liberty. I'll never know just how he come to love us so. He looked beyond all our faults, and he saw our need. Amazing grace shall always be, shall always be.
Jesus in the Morning Radio, spreading the good news of Jesus.
Yeah, I love that song right there, and I tried to find another version, but I wasn't able to this morning, so I just brought that one. And sometimes people run in their songs, and they run in too long, but I understood what he was saying about. That's, you know, why I could continue. Amazing Grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that bought my liberty. Grace brought me freedom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good morning, Brother Anthony. God bless you. How are you today?
Bless, highly favored. I just want to say good morning to you, Miss Barbara. I want to give God thanks, first of all, for life, health, and strength, keeping my right mind, allowing me to see another day. Thank you for the activity on my limbs and just being who he is in my life. I thank God for that word this morning. I see Blake, and you know what you were speaking on as well. I want to say good morning to Brother Frank, Brother Louis, Brother Ryan, Brother D, Sister Samoa, Sister Jerry, Miss Leafoot and Grandma Leafoot, Sister Fionn, Sister Brown, Sister Rita, and Brother Jermaine, and everybody this morning. Good morning to y'all. Hope y'all having a blessed morning this morning, and the day be blessed as well in the weekend. You know, I just thank God for, you know, being able to hear this show in the morning, Jesus in the Morning, Free Doors Ministry. I just thank God for, you know, the food, the spiritual food we get, you know, daily throughout the week. You know, it just encourages me and keep myself focused, you know, and I listen to what Bishop Blake was saying, you know, just, and I took that as, you know, even though he was speaking about the woman, you know, a little bit of that I could take for a man too, you know, because, you know, you got to get to the point too. As a man, you got to get to the point to find yourself to know what you want in a woman. You know, not only a woman want to know what they want in a man, you know, and, you know, just getting to the point where, you know, you die to, as a man, die to your flesh, you know, and not, you know, falling into temptation. And being picking, you know, what you want, ideal, what you might want. And, you know, I was guilty of that myself, you know, especially in my younger day. And even now, you know, see a woman and she be attracted, you know, and as far as physically, you know, and then she might not be right, you know, mentally, you know. So that, you know, that just opened my eyes, you know, and, you know, just allowing God, asking God, you know, before you seek out, make plans to try to find someone, you know, ask God, you know, is that the one that you got for me, you know, and it's not easy, you know, it'd be kind of hard, and it's hard for both genders, you know, male and female, so, you know, you just got to get to the point, and I'm working on that and struggling with it myself, but, you know, I know God bring me to that point where I can be able to do that, so, you know, I just thank God for that, being able to tune in and hear that this morning, and as well as what you was yourself you was talking about as well, Ms. Barbara. So, you know, I just thank God for that. Thank God for God using you, speaking through you, as well as R.C. Blake. You know, I just thank God for that. And I wanted to ask y'all just to continue to lift me up in y'all prayers, and I'll do the same. And y'all have a blessed day.
Amen. You too, Brother Anthony. Have a blessed weekend. Yeah. We thank God this morning because he's always coming to try and fulfill us. He's always coming to try and make us feel better. You know, I mean, make us be better people. And we can even, Fiance, good morning, Brother Anthony. We can even, you know, be a blessing to others and teach our daughters. But if we don't know, how are we teaching our children? If this is where we are, what are we teaching or what have we taught our children? Yeah. And so a lot of children become adults and they're in trouble. Because like I said, the mother is the teacher. God gave her that duty. Yeah. To teach your children. He used a husband to teach their sons too, but the mother teaches sons too. Yeah. But if we don't know, you know, we ignorant, then our kids are going to be that way. and we won't see a great production, and our children, many won't be able to leave home and stand on their own, you know? And in a lot of cases, I've seen a lot of women make their boys horrible. Because instead of them teaching the young man how to treat a lady and to be a man, they teach him how to become a woman. And I'm like, my goodness, what's happening to her? Some had husbands, and that husband wanted to teach him to be a man. And men are rough, rugged. Real men, they rough, rugged, and real. And they expect to go through hard stuff. They don't expect to go through soft things like women. Yeah. I looked at my brothers. I said, well, look, you're going to pressure wash it. I was like, yeah, it's got to be pressure wash. I was like, well, that's a lot. He said, look here, go ahead on and let me do what I got to do. The pressure washing is not for you. See, you put yourself in there how you would feel to do it. So now you don't want me to do it based off your feelings. He said, no, I got this. We'll talk after a while. Bye-bye, in other words. And I came on back in the house. Yeah. Because I'm a man. I know what to do here, and this got to be done. You're a woman, and you're around here trying to make me a woman. I'm not a woman, and I'm not going to let you make me one. Now, go ahead on about your business. For man, you get into it out here. And when I saw that, I said, okay, yeah, he's not going to let me do it. And a lot of women do that to their sons. They want to make it easy. They want to put all this fluffy cotton down and put soft pillows so that boys who one day are going to become men can be soft like the woman is, and they're going to fall and fluff on the cotton. No, you got to let them go. You got to let them get to be rough, rugged, and real is what men does. It's what men go through. They were designed and built to handle that kind of thing. We was not. See, I wasn't designed to dig no ditches, throw no garbage. Oh, no, that's not Barbara. And no other real woman. Yeah, we designed to be soft. We designed to do easy stuff, not working nobody's warehouse. That's just not me. I'm not driving no tractor trailer. That's Anthony's job. That's not for Bob. I ride in there. Oh, but I'm not driving no tractor trailer. Yeah, that's just not me. And softness is for women. Our hands are soft. I've had men to shake my hand and say, oh, goodness, your hand's soft. Yeah, I'm a woman. I'm not bamming with no hammer, no nail. I'm not screwdriving nothing in. There are days when some things we have to do because we may not have, you know, someone around to do it, and we want it done right now, and a few things we can do. But I'm not changing no oil. I got AAA and some other stuff. I'm not changing the tire. I may even know how to do it, but I'm not doing it. Yeah. I believe it's a man's job. Call me whatever you want to call me. I take the garbage out now because there are no sons here and there's no husband. But if I had sons and husbands, they would take the garbage out. They would keep the yards clean. Whatever happened in the house that break down under the sink or whatever, the husband go there and he repaired that. If he don't know how, then he called a repair person. And see, we done got away from the designs of God. And we got our own thing going on. What we feel like we want to do, we go on and do it. Don't tell me about going over on Facebook, not for no manly repairs. You can tell me to go over there and find out how to cook something or how to cover up a blemish on my face or something, but you're not going to tell me to go over there and learn how to throw garbage, learn how to fix a sink, learn how to pour concrete. Are you crazy? No, that's not me, and that's not the design of God for a woman. He told her to stay home and train them children. Yeah. And see, now when you have the right man in your life, the right husband, he understands all of this and he appreciates what you're doing. He's not pushing you out the door talking about you need a job. He's not getting you in the company of other people talking about she won't even work. What? If you couldn't afford a wife, you never should have took one on. That's what I got to say. God told you to go work by the sweat of your brow, told me to stay home and train them children, cook and keep that house organized and clean. Yeah. And I'm even training the boys in the house how to cook, how to bake, how to clean, how to do laundry. I'm teaching them because maybe they're not, you know, apt to get a wife right away, but you know how to do all of this for yourself because I taught you like I taught the daughters. Taught the daughters how to sew, how to hem a dress, how to sew up something that's ripped, how to crochet, you know. Women's stuff. But they just threw everything to the wind. They just men know all the secrets of women, just everything. And God had a purpose and a plan to keep things separated for a reason. Some things will keep men more interested in women if they don't know it. But you tell all the secrets, they're not interested. I know that. Huh? Yeah. We need to go back to God, ladies and gentlemen. We need to go back to God. Yeah. Let him make us over again. And he made us in his image. And we just want him to make our hearts over so that we have a heart of flesh and a heart that's for him. Yeah, to obey him at any cost. Hallelujah. God is faithful to us, and we want to be faithful to him. And we want to watch the way that we do God, the way that we treat him. We want to watch this because we'll treat him the way we treat people if we're not careful. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. No one else have anything to say. I will pray us out. We'll get out early this morning. And we pray the Lord bring us back Monday morning, 7 a.m., for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. Hallelujah. All right. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for all that has been said and done today. We thank you, Lord, for your word, for you sent your word and it healed us. We thank you today, O God, for every word of yours is pure. And Father, it's a shield unto them that put their trust in you. And forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven. And as we depart this morning, sanctify us through thy truth, for thy word is true. Father, we need you and we can't make it without you. Father, we can't distinguish this flesh from the spirit. We need you to give us more of your spirit and give us a mind to walk in your spirit that we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh. Help us this weekend, God, to live by faith and not by what we see and what we think and what we know we can do, but by believing in you that whatever we need, you're going to supply it. Help us today to become your people. You're already our God, and we need to become your people the more in the name of Jesus. And as we depart this weekend, I ask that you would calm every mind and every heart. And Father, I ask that your people would keep their mind on you, for you're going to keep them in perfect peace. And Father, we know the day nor the hour when you'll return, but we want to be ready. We don't want to have our minds on all this other stuff and put people and all this stuff before you. But Lord, we want you to be the Lord of our lives. Help us today in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask this morning, those that stand in the need of finance, those that are in the need of whatever, God, whatever the need may be this morning, I ask that you would bless your people in a mighty way. Father, you're able. Send them financial angels, God, to bring their money. Don't even let them go out to look for it or go out to get it, but God, bring it to them. Ask this weekend that you would pay more bills for these your people like you've never done before in the name of Jesus. Set their hearts and minds free that they can focus more on you. In Jesus' name, Father, we're asking. And as we depart this weekend, Father, bless our going out. Bless our coming in and supply the need, God, continue according to your riches and glory by your son, Christ Jesus. We need you in this hour. We can't make it without you. And Father, those that are sick with COVID, we ask the Lord that you would heal right now in the name of Jesus. Those that are suffering, God, we ask that you would do a supernatural healing on them, that the suffering would stop, the pain would stop, they can't breathe would stop in the name of Jesus. You're the God that healeth thee. You heal all manner of sickness and disease. Oh, do it this weekend, God, in the name of Jesus. Do it now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We know you to be a right now God. Move by your spirit, Father. In Jesus' name, we ask it all. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Father, we thank you. We thank you for hearing. We thank you for your answer, God. We thank you. We thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in our sight. Oh, Lord, you are our strength and our redeemer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus this weekend and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today. Starting this weekend, September the 10th, 2021. In Jesus' name. Look at this. Already 10 days into this ninth month. Wow. Time is moving. So listen, we're going to our last song of the morning. And after this song, I won't be coming back. Have a blessed and prosperous weekend. For he is good. For he is good. Oh, give thanks, hey, unto the Lord. For he is good. Yes, he is. He is good. For he is worthy. Worthy. For he is good. Okay, I got to fix this now. I'm waiting on them. Got to give Rita 30, give Sion 30. From Sister Simone. And all right, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to fix it. Give me a minute here, Lady Tater. Have a blessed weekend. Be blessed and prosperous. Yes, Lord, bless us all. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, I didn't see it. And I'm still on the air. For he is good. Ha, 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 ha.